Kenaged Arba Bonim Divra Toira. The Torah tells us about the education of four sons. In fact, there are five. The fifth one, which the Torah does not mention for very obvious reasons, is the child who is too young to be educated. The Torah only talks about what we can do to educate those which can be educated. The youngest is the Eliyahu Elisha. There's a child younger than him, and it's very important for us parents to realize that there are times when a child is too young to understand what he is being told, and therefore trying to educate such a child is a waste of time. It's stressful for both parents and the child. Sometimes parents are blessed with a number of children, let's say number 1, 2, 3, and 4. They learn to say their brachas when they were 2 years old, but number 5 doesn't. They should never be downhearted or dispirited. The Torah teaches us that each child reaches his or her maturity at a certain time. It's not always the same. Each child is different, and parents should never get worried that this child doesn't seem to be as bright as the other ones. Now, what is the Torah telling us? Arba bonim divra Torah. The Torah tells us one of the basics of education, and that is, no two children are the same. Each child is different, and each child must be treated according to its mentality and its koichas hanefesh. This piece of Haggadah, Keneged Arba Bonim, is actually taken from the Mechilta, and it starts with Yochol Meroish Chodesh Tamadoyim Avayim Hahu. So Rav Moshe Feinstein asks the Kasha, since there is a Hava Amina that we should start from Rosh Chodesh, why don't we? Why is it Ba'avur Zeh, the Rebbein Shem insists you don't start until you can point to the Pesach Matzah Moreh? If it's a good Hava Amina to start Rosh Chodesh, start Rosh Chodesh. The answer was supplied to me by my good friend, the educationalist Rabbi Yitzchak Grunbaum. He said it's quite simple. To which child does the Torah refer the words Ba'avu Zeh Osali? It's the Eini Yodei Alishul, the least mature of the children. And here the Torah tells us that this child, because of his immaturity, he won't understand. If you describe to him a Korban Pesach or a piece of matzah or a shtikel moroil, he won't understand. When will he understand? When you can point at it. Ba'avur zeh. Now when he sees it, ah, yes, the penny has dropped. And that is the aside of education. They call them audiovisual aids. Now of course, if a child is more mature, definitely Moroish Chodesh. As far as I'm concerned, the halacha is you start teaching the halachas of Pesach from Purim onwards. But that is a child who has a greater understanding. But for the child who is labeled Eini Yodei Lishael, theory is no good for him. He needs audiovisual aid. You have to point, Ba'avuzer. Ah, now I understand. So that's what the Torah is teaching us, that each child must be taught according to his maturity or lack thereof. It's no good bunching them together. There is a very strange midrash on the posuk Vayoel Moshe Lo Sheves Esoish, which says that Yisroel made Moshe take an oath before he allowed him to marry his daughter, that his first son, he will educate him the derech avodah zarah. Which is, and Moshe agreed. Very, very strange. First of all, how can Moshe agree? Secondly, Yisroel suffered because he had rejected Avodah Zarah. He couldn't find anybody to look after his sheep, had to send his daughters out with these rough shepherds, and they threw them to the water and threw out the water. He suffered through rejection. So if he rejects Avodah Zarah, who I insist that his first grandson be educated there at Avodah Zarah. And this is Marumas in the Torah. In Sedra Yisroi, we are told, Shem ho echod Gershon, ki omar gerho yisi, v'shem ho echod Eliezer. Now that's very strange. It should have said v'shem ha-sheni Eliezer. Why do you say Shem ho echod? Now I was zoicha to hear from Rav Shimon Schwab, Olav HaSholom, I couldn't find it in the paper, but he said the following. There are two ways in which we can educate our children to believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. The first way is Mesoras, tradition. That's what my father believed, my grandfather, great-grandfather, and you go all the way back to Avraham Avinu, Behem and Bashem. That is our approach to life, Emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. But that doesn't prove anything. It's just plain, straightforward faith. There is another way. Show your child the falseness and the total futility of Avodah Zarah. Go through the whole lot. Avodah Zarah A, it's false. B, useless, stupid. C, no use at all. And when you finished, you say, ah, what does that prove? There must be a Ribbono Shel Olam in heaven who runs this world of ours. That was Yisrael's approach. I mean, how did Yisrael ever get to the truth? He was an Oyvind Avodah Zarah. But thinking about it, he realized, Narishkeit, it's false. So he tried something else. And through trying, after Yudat, he got a Shem, he called Elohim. I've been through the lot. Every Elohim there is on earth, I've studied and found it false. Now I'm convinced, says Yisroi. And Yisroi says to Moshe, look, your traditional way is very good, but it lacks proof. If, however, you teach your child my way of coming to the truth through trial and error, then it'll be more convincing. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, I'll do it. So when Gershom was of an educational age, he taught him the falsehood of Avodah Zarah A and B and C, right through to the A, B, C, till he came to Z. And now you see, he said to Gershom, you see, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in heaven, he runs this world. However, with that, Moshe's Yotzei Gevein. When Eliezer was born, he taught him the Derech HaMasoras, the accepted way, the traditional way. And that is why it says Shem Ho Echod Gershon, the Shem Ho Echod Eliezer. Eliezer was not number two after Gershon, he was the first one in the line, because Gershon had one sort of education, and the first one of Moshe's sons to be educated in the traditional Messiah's way, that was Eliezer. And unfortunately, history shows us that Moshe was wrong in making this agreement with Yisroel, because eventually one of his grandsons became a shamish to Avodah Zarah. So that teaches us that the way to educate our children is with Derech HaMasorah, the traditional Jewish way. Don't turn right and turn left. Yeah, I'm not against using modern techniques to improve our traditional method, but don't divert basically from our traditions. Chinuch has two aspects, the positive and the negative. The positive we needn't talk about, but the negative might need stressing. In the beginning of Sedra Vayishlach, when Yaakov heard that Esau was coming with 400 men, it said, "Vayiro Yaakov ma'od va'yetzaloi." He was afraid and he was distressed. So Rashi's comment, as I'm sure everybody knows, that Yaakov was afraid of being killed and he was distressed at the thought of killing others in self-defense. What's not quite clear from Rashi is why, when Yaakov davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, "Hatzileni no miyad ochi miyad Esav." But Rashi says of Pshat, I mean, everybody knows that his brother's Esav. Rashi says of Pshat, "Miyad ochi sheinoig imi ka'och." He doesn't treat him like, well, that's Esav or Rasha. The Beis HaLevi has a different approach. He says, "Vayiro Yaakov ma'oid vayetzalai." Was two different things. Vayiro, he was afraid that if Esau turns out to be very friendly and brotherly, that strikes fear into his heart. Because what effect will the proximity of Esau have on the chinuch of my children? Vayetzalai means, well, being killed is rather regretful. But the yiro of Yaakov for the soul of his children was greater than the distress of being killed. And that fits in beautifully with Hatzileni no miyad ochi. Ochi denotes friendship. Rabbanishon, please save me from the friendship of Esav. That's my main fear. He'll come along as a good brother to me and a wonderful uncle to all my children, and often they, what will happen to their chinuch. And then he said, miyad Esav. Well, Esav synonymous with murder. That's also something to be afraid of. But the fear which Yaakov had for the chinuch of his children was greater to him than the fear of death. One has to protect one's children from uncles like Esav and any other influence which is negative. And there's a beautiful vort from the Chofetz Chaim on this. In Sedra Shoiftim, we have the parasha of the Roitzeach. The Tzeach the Shoigeg, that is. And the Torah says, Tochin Lecha Haderach. Prepare the way. So Rashi says it means that every crossroad had signposts. Which way to the Ir Miklot? And the Rambam quotes, I think, the Yerushalmi, that the width of the roads in Eretz Yisrael were 16 amos, but in the direction of the Ora Re'miklot had to be 32 amos, double. You know, we don't want any traffic jams. This poor chap wants to get there as quickly as possible, being hotly pursued by the Goy Ladon. So you avoid traffic jams by widening the roads. I don't think Barnet Council agrees, but who cares what they think? Keneged the Das HaTorah. So the Chofetz Chaim asks a kasha. How often do you get people who have to flee from the Goyla Dom because of either deliberate or accidental death? Not many. And in spite of that, the Torah says, Tochim Lachadera. Every road must be signposted. Contrast that to the millions of people who are Oyla Regal three times a year. Besides which, people had Korbonish to bring. Millions of them. Why not Tochim Lachadera for the Oyla Regalim? Says the Chofetz Chaim. From here we have a Yesoid of the Koichas HaNefesh. Everything you hear and Kal V'Chaimah see has an effect on you. You like it or not, you can't help it. So if you imagine there's a farmer working in his farm near the crossroads and somebody comes up and pats, tells his friend, which way to the Ora Miklot? That way. So what does that farmer know? There's been a loss of life. And however careful this farmer is, or was, in Shmirat HaNefesh, that hearing that somebody's got killed accidentally or deliberately has an effect. It lowers his respect for human life, a mashahu. So Rabbi Yisrael says, nothing doing. Talking like Ohadera. We don't want people to ask questions which way to the Oremiklot. In contrast, what do we want? We want people to hear, tell me, my friend, which is the way to Yerushalayim? Ah, now that's good. Because this man is either bringing his Bikurim, or he's being Hoyle Regu, or he's bringing a Korban. Ah, that's what you want to hear. That is why there was Tochen Lecha HaDerech for the Rotchim, and no Tochen Lecha HaDerech. The Rebbe wants you to hear this question, which way to Yerushalayim? And this, of course, is a vital piece of knowledge for education. Today, don't have to tell you, Rabbi Yisai, the streets, the newspapers are full of things which are unethical, they're un-Jewish, and the greater the steps we take to protect our children from seeing and hearing things which are unwholesome, the better we are at chinuch. Now, I've often said that we send our children to Jewish primary schools, Jewish grammar schools, then the girls go off to SEM, the boys go off to yeshiva, and we say, pat himself on the back, yeah, I've done a good job for chinuch. Yes, oh, it's very good, you have to send your boys to yeshiva, and the girls to SEM and everything else. But whatever they teach them there is theory. The theory of Yiddishkeit. The practice of Yiddishkeit is in the home. Parents should not, chas v'sholem, think they're yoter by sending their children to Jewish institutions. It's the home which is a source of practical chinuch. And practice is always more important than theory. In Haftarah of Sedras Hadriah, we have a story about a man called Naaman. He was a very successful general, but he had tzaras. And in one of the forages into Jewish territory, his troops took prisoner a young girl, and this girl, little girl, ended up as a kitchen help to Mrs. Naaman. And this little girl said to her mistress, I can see my master is very badly affected by this tzaras. If he were to go to the Novi Neretz Yisrael, Elisha, he'd cure him of his tzaras. Very good. So he gets a letter of introduction from the Melech, and he goes to Yehoram Melech Yisrael, nice letter of introduction, plenty of cash. And he says, no, King Yehoram, please help me. So what does Yehoram do? Tears his clothes in despair. This is just an excuse, he wants to attack us. So the Osnaim the Torah asks a good question. If a little girl knows that Elisha Novi can cure Mitzaroim, how come the Melech Yisrael doesn't know? There's another kasha. The Novi tells us had a list of 16 nisim of Elisha, one after the other. I haven't found any remez of a loibarim either that Elisha ever cured a Mitzayla. No such thing. The answer is quite simple. Elisha never ever cured a Mitzayla. But Chazal tell us the tzaraas, the biblical tzaraas, we're not talking about leprosy, which is a physical disease. The spiritual disease of tzaraas is as a result of a person doing an aveira. Now, very often, you know, we do aveiras and we don't think, we don't know. The person comes in with tzaraas, he says, hey, what have I done wrong? You know, Adam, Korah, and Asher, I've always done lakavshus myself. Don't know what's wrong. Comes along Elisha Hanovi And he said, look, you know, you spoke a lot in Chalei there, you made a machlokes there, and you're a balgaiver. And the balgaiver doesn't realize I'm showing off. Showing a kid to the Maisa, the Novi tells him, what's wrong? As Tshuva, Tossi, or Yisub, Shati, for this Aveda, and then the Tzaraf goes away. So Elisha Novi had a reputation of, so to speak, curing the Tzaraf. Of course, a little girl, she doesn't know this, but the Melech Yisrael, he knows it all right. He said to himself like this: Ayid with emunah and bitochen. If he's told you spoke Lashon Hara, you made a machlokes, you're the balgaiver, he does tshuva. But go and tell this Tchoster Goy Naaman, tell him you're a balgaiver, you're this or that. Will he do tshuva? Will he listen to you? I'm actually at all. So the Melech Yisrael knew all about Elisha's Seichel. But will Naaman listen? Of course not. So that's why he despaired. But anyway, Naaman went to the Novi. The Novi told him something very strange. Dip yourself 7 times the arm, you'll be okay. And can't happen. What's the Biur Hanover? I bet that Naaman was right, that Avonu Parka Naharos Damese are better than Kol Meimei Yisrael. It is true that the Gemara Nechen says Al Shivo Devorim Tzarasmo, but there's another one which the Gemara doesn't mention there, but should be well known to anybody who learns Chumash Rashi, as we all should do every week. When Yehuda pleaded with Yosef to allow Binyamin to return home and he'll take his place, he said, "Ki chomoicha kafar." And Rashi brings 4 shotim on what does "ki chomoicha kafar" mean. One of them is you're going to get tzaras for keeping a Jewish man from his environment, from his home. And he adds, like Paroi. That Paroi got Tzaraas because he kept Tzora away from home for one night. So that is another reason for getting Tzaraas. Keeping a Jewish person away from their home. Of course, Elisha now knew why this man Nam got Tzaraas. He had a Jewish girl. He stopped her getting the chinuch of her parents by making her his wife's kitchen maid. So that's why he got Tzaraas. And he knew that Naaman was a shtikla mensch, and if this girl causes him to be cured, as a korus hatoiv, he let her go home. So Elisha, being a novi, he reads that that's what happened. So he cured him of his tzaraas. Now, immediately, sort of speaking, al tanai, let the girl go home, and kachava, out of hakorus hatoiv, he let her go home. So you see the oynish of keeping a Jewish girl from her home is tzaraas. Incurable tzaraas, unless you let her go. And that is one thing which I believe the Melech Yisrael didn't know. Either he didn't learn the Rashi on that posuk, or possibly he did, but he didn't know that Naaman had this Jewish girl. But if you keep Jewish children away from their home, it's pretty grim. Now, the question is, if really the reason of Naaman's tzaraas was because it kept a Jewish girl away from her home, what's this business of toivening in the Yarden got to do with it? So the Rekeach says like this. The Gemara says that we may have studied names. You can be sure that Elisha and Ovi also did the same. And he was struck by the fact that Naaman's name begins and ends with a nun. So he looked into the Sefer Torah, and he found there are 3 psukim of the Torah which begin and end with a nun. Neda tzaraas kisiyeh ba'odom v'huvo el ha-koyhein. That's posuk number 1. Then there is a posuk in Sefer Shoftim which begins with the word Nodi and ends with the word Tishma'un. And there's a pasuk at the end of Sedra Matos with Bnei God Reuven, which starts with, strangely, instead of Anachnu, Nachnu Na'avod. Begins with a Nun, Nachnu Na'avod, and ends with a Nun Yarden. So, Mamela, Elisha worked it out. Novi, that's me. Neger Taras Bitiya Ba'odom, that's him. And what's the other one? Yarden, no? Into the Yarden. That's what the Baal Rokeach says. It's quoted in the Minor Shel Torah. What the Rokeach doesn't explain is what this business of seven times. Well, in my very humble opinion, it's because the Gemara says Taras Boal Shiro Devorim. So there is a connection between the number seven and Taras. Not just. The Minor Shel Torah also said something else about this Yarden, and that is this. Naaman might well have been amongst those people who believed the Ribbon Shel Olam created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and after that he left it all to the laws of nature. And the laws of nature, they go on and on and on. That's a greater nature, teva, miracles. Ah, Ribbon Shel Olam does miracles, but Ribbon Shel Olam and teva in the world. If you go into the world today and you find a Nochri who believes in God, and you'll ask him what is nature, well, nature is nature. Day, night, one after the other. We're not like that. We believe. Teva is also run by the Ribbono Shel Olam, although it might not appear so. I mean, I can tell you what time sunrise will be tomorrow and sunset, because there are all sorts of things which show that it goes like clockwork. Of the Imkol Zeh, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam who is, so to speak, winding up the clock. My clock's not that better. We say every morning, "Baruch Hanoisim Lachatu Ivino." Well, that's nature, isn't it? The cock crows when it's first light. Now, yes, it is nature. But we believe, "Baruch Ata Hashem," it's the Ribbono Shel Olam who makes nature run like clockwork. So, therefore, Naaman believed that nature. Avona uparpav, the big rivers of Damascus, far a lot better than little Yarden. Oh, yeah, little pitchy river. So Elisha said, "I'll teach you a lesson. The Teva, the water in the Yarden, that also flows by the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So do Avona and Parpa and Damascus. But everything on this earth of ours, call it Teva if you like, but it is the Maaseh Hashem."